This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams.
Hi, and welcome to a rather croaky episode 184 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com. And joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne once again, Mr. Lee Andrikopoulos. How are you, mate?
G'day, Bruce. How are you, buddy? That is one brilliant husky voice, buddy.
Mate, I'm feeling like Barry White.
My lord, you sound so entertaining, sir.
How have you been?
Oh, I've been pretty good running around Australia, talking to various professional photographers around the traps, and my lord, it's an entertaining journey. There's a lot happening out there, guys.
And New Zealand.
Yes, I've started doing a lot more in New Zealand now, so NZ, watch out, here we come. Let's talk emotion and how does it influence our professional industry.
Because you only got back yesterday morning, wasn't it?
I did. Yes, it was actually. I must admit, I pulled off a 48-hour trip on about 3 hours sleep, so I was impressed that I managed to pull that off. But we do what we do because we love it.
That's right.
That's it.
Tonight you were saying you're going to talk about how we handle objections to...
Objections. How do we deal with objections? I'm running around Australia and NZ now. Yeah. And the one common ingredient that's popped up a lot this week and I thought I'd bring up was the fact that how do we deal with our objections? And there seems to be a lot of that going on. And a lot of queries. Interestingly enough, a lot of people will talk to me about, look, I've had my clients saying, you know, this objection or that objection. The most common one would have to be price, I would imagine. A lot of people saying, look, yeah. how do we deal with that objection? Bruce, I'd say, look, at the end of the day, there's the most obvious way of dealing with the objection, which is the informative way. So, in a sense, a client turns around and says, and I'll use the classic example, how much, more to the point, you've just quoted a price on a wall portrait at, say, $1,000 for a 20 by 16 inch wall portrait, finished frame wall portrait, and you've quoted $1,000, and your client's having a bit of a heart attack. Going, you're kidding me.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, that's unacceptable all the way. That's way too much. How do you deal with that response? What's the best way to deal with it without actually being cornered? Because the hardest thing is to actually turn around and say, well, I don't know, suppose you're right. You know, it is expensive. Maybe I should drop my price. So, you know, that ain't going to get us very far.
No, it's not.
So how do we deal with it? And I think, look, it's like anything. You know, you've got one person coming from one perspective, another client or somebody else coming from another perspective, and we're stuck in the middle. There's two different opinions. Someone's saying black, someone's saying white. Too expensive. No, it's not. What's the best way to deal with it? Well, I'd say the most important thing of all, the first thing we need to appreciate is business 101, the customer is always right.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, the first response has got to be, I understand. Before we do anything else, acknowledge that you appreciate where they're coming from. Look, I understand how you feel.
Right.
And that once we've shown that, because there's no way someone's even going to listen to you if you go straight up against them. You know, they say, well, that's too expensive. And your response is, no, it's not. No, it's not expensive. Bang, you've already got a conflict. You've got someone saying one thing, someone saying another. We're slap bang in the middle. Bang, there's a disagreement. We're not really going to move forward. So if we are going to go anywhere and we're looking to achieve a positive result, the first thing we need to do is acknowledge that the customer is right. And by simply saying, look, I understand, you're showing an appreciation from their perspective. The second rule of business has got to be prove to them that you're listening to them. And the best way of doing that is by actually repeating what they've said to you. So in this case, the issue is that it's too expensive. So look, Mary, I understand it's not the cheapest thing in the face of the earth, or I understand how you feel it's not the cheapest thing in the world. Show them that understanding, show them that you're listening to them by actually repeating what their issue is. Once you've shown an understanding towards them, and once you've shown that you clearly understand their perspective by repeating what their issue is, then you can go ahead and give them the positive to whatever that negative may be. In this case, Mary, I understand it's not the cheapest thing on the face of the earth. However, it's something you're going to have for the rest of your life. Or, however, it's something that you're going to pass down to your grandkids. However, it's something that complements the way you'd like to be seen by the world. There's always that positive. To every negative, there's always going to be a positive. So it's our job to actually identify the positives.
Right.
And then finally, close the darn thing. In which case, Mary, I understand. It's not the cheapest thing in the face of the earth. However, it's something you're going to have for the rest of your life. Can you see what I mean?
Right.
And give it back to them. Yeah. So, in a sense, you're acknowledging their perspective that it's not cheap, but you're also saying, look, I get it, but there is the counter argument. It's something you're going to have for the rest of your life. And then give it back to them in a way that they will look for a response. Can you see what I mean, Mary? And in this case, I'm not necessarily saying that Mary's going to go, oh, yes, I see what you mean. Yeah, I'm quite happy to pay $1,000 for that wall portrait now. That may not necessarily happen. However, you have dealt with the objection. You haven't found yourself in a corner thinking, now what do I say or do? Mm-hmm. And half the battle is being able to come up with a counter-argument in a manner that the client feels that you have still respected their perspective.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
And in a sense, I mean, that's definitely the informative way where you're giving them a positive. Now, many a client that I deal with, I say to them, look, make a list of all the objections that you get, all those disadvantages, all those negatives that you get, make a list. And then for each negative, come up with at least two or three or even four positives.
Yep.
In which case, you've always got something up your sleeve to give back to your client as a counter-argument.
Yep.
So I reckon, how about we play a little game right now?
Okay.
Just to prove the point, I would like you to just keep saying to me, Lee, that's too expensive.
That's too expensive, Lee.
Right. Look, Bruce, I understand. It's not cheap. However, it is something you're going to have for the rest of your life. Look, can you see what I mean?
Yeah, but it's still really expensive.
No, look, I do get it. It's definitely not cheap. You know, it's $1,000 for a wall portrait is not the cheapest thing out there. However, not only is it something you're going to have for the rest of your life, but it is also going to be something you'll be able to pass down to your kids. Can you see what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I can. But at the end of the day, I've still got to have the money to actually be able to pay you the $1,000 for the portrait, and I just don't know if I can scrape that together.
Look, I do understand it isn't cheap and it is going to be an issue to see how you can come up with this kind of money. I am here to help. And at the end of the day, look, not only is this something that you're going to have for the rest of your life, not only is it something you're going to pass down to your grandkids, but also this is going to be one of the very few things that you will purchase and will find a way if we have to make it achievable, but it's going to be something that will appreciate in value as years go by. Can you see what I mean?
Okay. How will it appreciate in value?
Well, as the years go by, you look back on this and will appreciate that its value will be more and more.
So like emotional value will increase.
Of course. Right, most definitely. Yeah. Most definitely. I mean, you buy a couch in 10 years' time, that couch will have depreciated in value.
Yeah, for sure.
In 10 years' time, that wall portrait will have definitely increased in value for you. The emotional value of it will be 10 times more, 100 times more.
Right. Yep.
So I guess what I'm doing is I'm constantly coming back to you with a counter argument, and I'm actually adding on to my counter arguments.
Yeah.
So you, in the sense, have literally just got one issue, which is it's too expensive.
Yeah.
But from my point of view, I've actually come back with two, three, or even four advantages or counter arguments, in a sense.
Right.
Now, by no means am I saying that we will just drill our clients till they say yes and force them into it. And that process of dealing with that objection would probably happen over a half-hour period through various discussions and through the imagery and through presentation of the imagery and through various finished products that we're going to look at. And at various stages, the issue of price may arise. And as it arises during that time frame, you've remembered the previous issue that they had, and you give it back to them along with the first, second, and third advantage that you've kept in your mind as you've gone along.
Right.
Make sense?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. Well,
I guess like anything, it comes down to practice, doesn't it?
Of course it does.
Just like learning your f-stops and your shutter speeds and your ISOs. You know, it's just, I guess as you get confronted with these objections over time, you sort of will build up a repertoire of, you know, valid reasons for why
exactly.
It's not as expensive in the long term as it may seem in the short term.
Exactly. And it's about building up that repertoire, as you say. As I say, with a lot of my clients, what I'll do is when we're mentoring, one of the things that we'll start with is we need to establish a to-do list of disadvantages and advantages. What are the advantages? And as long as you've got a better list or a bigger list of advantages against that disadvantage, you know, it gives you something to work with, and it's the ammunition you're looking for.
Right. Excellent.
So there you go. There's one way of dealing with the objection in an informative way.
Okay.
Having said that, though, I still believe the best way to deal with an objection is to prevent the bloody thing from happening in the first place.
So how do you do that?
Prevention. Tell them about it before they tell you.
Right.
Simple as that.
Yep.
Tell them about it before they tell you.
Okay.
Let's look at some examples. Let's look at, say, a wall portrait. Now, what we're looking at is getting a client to appreciate a wall portrait. Now, one of the first things I always say is if you turn around to a client and ask them, once you've gone down and you've selected their favorite images, and you turn around and ask them whether they'd like a wall portrait, 9 out of 10 times, or a few times, if not 9 out of 10 times, many a time they will respond with, I really don't want a wall portrait. I just like some smaller prints, for argument's sake.
Right.
And the reason I'll say that is because the question, would you like a wall portrait, is loaded with a lot of issues.
Yeah, there's a lot of ifs.
Exactly. Which image? Where's it going to go? What size? What finish? Oh, my Lord, this is way too hard. No. Don't worry about it. I'll just have the prints.
Yeah.
So automatically you have an issue that's arisen. How do we prevent that from happening? Well, okay, how about we predetermine what a wall portrait is? Okay, Mary, a wall portrait is A, it's a piece of furniture. B, it's something that can clearly be viewed from every point in that room. And C, complements the style of that room.
Right.
So before the issue of size has even arisen, I have told the client, there's no point in having a wall portrait that's absolutely minute. It's something that can clearly be viewed from every point in that room. That's what a wall portrait is.
Yeah.
So I'm already dealing with the issue of size before it's arisen as an issue.
Right.
Or the fact that the wall portrait needs to be finished as a piece of furniture. Or the fact that it should complement the style of that room, which means we need to review whether it's going to be framed with a classic frame because your lounge room has a classical style. Or it's going to have an acrylic finish to complement your contemporary style lounge room. Or it'll have an art mount finish, giving it that more fresh contemporary look again.
Right.
Or a casual front. So already we're dealing with the style or the size or the furniture concept as opposed to just the plain prints before the issue has arisen.
What do you do in the extreme example that your client has absolutely no artistic sense whatsoever and the lounge room is a mishmash of every style imaginable?
Well, I reckon the best part about this is that any lounge room, I guarantee you, will be either a classical style lounge room,
right,
or it'll be a modern style lounge room, or it'll be a casual style lounge room.
Oh, okay.
Now, even if you think about your mate who's got the surfboard in the lounge room along with the stereo system and the tinnies running around the back of the wall there,
yep.
It's actually a casual-style lounge room.
Yeah, right.
In which case, a distressed wooden frame might work perfectly.
Yeah.
Or sure. We might go with that rustique. At the end of the day, there's always a style that'll work into it. I always refer to photographers when it comes to the viewing aspect of the imagery and the presentation and the finished pieces. In a sense, Bruce, we're image consultants now.
Yeah.
We've moved on from photographers and we are now image consultants. And this is one point that I seem to refer to a lot of photographers and they get it. It actually makes sense. You know, when we're actually showing images, we're not just showing them the images and shutting up and letting the images do all the work for themselves.
Right.
We are the ones that actually, when an image comes up, we literally need to take a step back and ask the client, how does it feel? And give the client a few minutes to actually look at that image and appreciate that image. At some stage, they will voice an opinion. It'll either be, I love it, I hate it, or I'm indifferent. When they're first seeing an image, they're actually not looking at the image, correct? They're actually looking at themselves.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And
you mentioned this a couple of weeks back about...
I have.
About sometimes their objections are not actually about your photography as such as about the way they perceive themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Now, if you're a portrait photographer out there, make sure you have been through a portrait experience yourself.
Right.
Make sure you know what it feels like to sit in a room with a screen in front of you, looking at images of yourself. And what you're going to discover is that you're not necessarily looking at the image, but you're looking at yourself.
Right. So really, we should team up with our other photography buddies, because we've all got some buddies.
Yes.
And have one of our buddies do a portrait session of ourselves.
Well said, sir. Well said.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Get an appreciation of what it feels like. And what you're going to realize is that what you're looking at is yourself, not the image. Now, that's why I say to people or photographers, when you are showing your images, ask the question, how does it feel? Remember, we don't think in this industry, we feel in this industry, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So once you've asked the client, how does it feel? Give them a few minutes to actually look at that image and allow them to deal with themselves. However, don't necessarily get caught up in their response or whether they love it, hate it, or indifferent, because 9 out of 10 times, they'll turn around and go, yeah, it's all right, even if they love it, because they're struggling to deal with it. So in which case, at this point, once they've responded, and I will many a time say, disregard their response and reply with, okay, what I'm looking at is the way those eyes have that piercing look about them, how that hair has that carefree feel about it, how your composition and the way you've held your shoulders has got that relaxed, casual, earthy feel about it, and start identifying the focal points that you identified when you went click with your camera.
Yeah.
And bring out the emotional impact of those particular focal points, which will start helping the client identify the story within the image.
Yeah.
This is why I refer to photographers as image consultants when they're showing their images.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, it's this journey that you're taking them through. And once you've established those absolutely brilliant images, then we can look at the presentations. And now, what's our objective? We're going to look at the presentations and we're going to present them an ideal world price. And when we present them with the ideal world price, well, because that is our job, yeah, to show them all the options in order that they may make a value judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're doing our job correctly, we will establish a price range of products that they absolutely love, which will be a bit scary.
Right.
In other words, so Mary, we have your lounge room wall portrait as a 30x40 in the rusty canvas. We have your dining room wall portrait as a 20x24 in the casual distressed frame. And we have your bedroom wall portrait in the 20x16 size, just above the wall in the acrylic finish. All inclusive, you're looking at $5,350.
Right.
In which point that client may have a wee bit of a little heart attack. Right, other than providing the aspirins to settle them down again, you have yourself in a situation where at times that client might feel a little hard done by.
Right.
You've built a desire for it, you've excited them about the images, you've told them about their personalized presentation, it's all lovely, and now you've horrified them with a price which seems to be out of their range.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a bit scary, in which case you're pretty much assured that they're going to have a heart attack and come back to you with, you've got to be bloody joking. Now, what can we do? Again, the preventative objection dealing process can be very helpful here.
Right.
And what I would say is, once we've established the images are absolutely brilliant, before we go into presenting the personalized presentation range, how about we set a platform for the client? And in this case, I'd say, well, Mary, what we're going to do now is establish what you'd love to have in an ideal world.
Right.
If you're happy with it, that ideal world collection, we can go ahead with it. Otherwise, we're going to alter the order to where you're comfortable.
Right.
Got it?
Yep.
Which means, Mary, what we're going to do is we're going to establish the ideal collection, which is going to be a really expensive collection. That's what you'd love to have. And once I've quoted that price, if you're not happy with it, don't worry, I'll bring it down to your comfort level.
Yeah.
Which means the best way of upselling is by downselling.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. That's how we purchase, actually. We have discussed this before. Best way of actually purchasing is by establishing what you'd love to do. It's like when I've previously talked about the car, buying the ideal car that you'd love to have. Well, the ideal car that you'd love to have might be, you know, a convertible with this massive engine and this sporty feel about it and this, that, and the other on it.
Aston Martin DB9.
Boom, boom. There you go. Sitting on about, what, 250, 400,000? Where is it?
300 grand, yeah.
300 grand. Right, there you go. That's what I'd love to have in an ideal world.
Yeah.
But when reality kicks in, oh, God, no. That's a bit more than I expected. So, all right, I can probably do without the convertible concept, and I could probably do without that massive horsepower, and I could probably do without that broom broom noise that it makes, and God knows what else I'm going to start eliminating from that ideal world collection.
Yeah.
Until we bring it down to a level that's more affordable or in my price range.
Yeah.
What I've actually done is before I even went into the presentation range, I set the platform by establishing the ideal world for you. I set a preventative method in place to ensure that I've told you about it before it became an issue for you. And therefore, you're going to be a little more considerate to my perspective.
Right.
Make sense?
I think so.
So, yes. Look, it's an ever-ending journey of trying to help the clients. And I do mean this. I'm not interested in pushing a client to spend more than they want to.
No.
But in order that they may get exactly what works best for them, it is our responsibility to show them all the options. Don't be scared of it. They will appreciate you running through all the options. And that might be by starting from all the images and spending the time to understand and appreciate each image and then eliminating the ones that don't work and eventually bringing it down to the ones that are absolutely brilliant, not based on price, but rather the collection of images that they love.
Yeah.
And then once we've established those are favorite images, then we're in a position, or once then we clearly have the motivator, which is, we love those images. Now I am motivated to look at the presentations. And I've always said that, look, there's no point in having these brilliant images unless we present them effectively.
Yeah. And how do you present all of the different options for, like, framing, for example? Do you contact suppliers and ask for samples of all the different frame styles? Like, how do you normally approach that?
That's also a very good question. Look, if you're talking about the issue of how we're going to present, let's look at the wall portrait principle. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many options there. And with a portrait client, for argument's sake, you've got an hour and a half before you've totally blown your client's mind and they're beyond actually being able to make conscious decisions and spend lots of money. So you're actually quite limited in the amount of time you can actually spend to run through the presentation range and personalize that presentation range for them.
Right.
So make it clear that you, in your repertoire of products, whether it be in your viewing room or your little briefcase or suitcase that you carry around to their house, for argument's sake, has all the options you need. In other words, you have your repertoire of sales tools available.
Right.
Whether it be the size options that you might present, either with, say, Pro Select, with the calibrated size that'll appear up on their wall, or whether it be having, you know, I know many photographers, they used to carry these sheets of paper with them that were all sized to a 30-40, 24-30, 20-24, or 20-16, for argument's sake.
Right. What, so and they can just hold it up against the wall and go, this is how big it'll be?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. So you've got the size aspect of it. Then you've got the finishes. Well, what finishes are we going to play with? Well, we've got... we could have the frames, for argument's sake. And if you are going to have frames, keep it simple, guys. This is not about a frame which overrides the image. This is something that complements the image or blends the image into a particular style of lounge room setting, for argument's sake.
Right.
So, you know, if you're going to have frames, you will have three, no more than four, casual frames in terms of a wooden distressed or a wooden more classical, but, you know, your wooden frames or your wooden casual frames. Then you'll have, say, four different versions of a modern frame, a more clean cut, simple frame.
Right.
Then you might have four versions of a classical frame.
Right. So you would actually get hold of suppliers and get them to supply you with small samples?
Most definitely. You should definitely have yourself a series of corners that you've got to play with. No more than 12, I'd say.
Yeah, right.
You know, that you've never really needed more than that.
Yeah.
And I used to actually say to many a supplier, look, give me a standard price. So make a collection of frame corners that will all work out at about the same price for you.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. So you're not going back and forth and the prices aren't changing because, as we'll talk in future episodes, the important thing here is making sure that your cost of goods is maintained within a price range that is realistic to make a profit.
Yeah.
You know, ideally you should be working with about 10% cost of goods, worst case scenario going up to about 15% cost of goods.
What do you mean by that?
I mean that if you're selling something for $1,000,
yep,
the cost of goods should not really be exceeding $150.
Wow. Your markup, yeah, is that much?
Yes. Yes. Wow. If you want to move out of the house, if you want to move out of the house and move into a studio,
yeah,
where you will have running expenses, you need to plan for it in advance.
Yeah, right.
And this is something we're going to go into more detail in other episodes. I promise.
Awesome.
You that one.
Awesome.
That is a real big chapter, that one.
Yeah.
But you know, understand that your framing needs to be contained. So I used to approach my framers and say, look, these are the frames, or let's put together a collection of frames which will work within a set budget. Mm-hmm. And that I know that regardless of the frame I go with, a 20 by 16 frame is going to cost me so much.
Right.
A 20 by 24 frame is going to cost me so much, a 24, 30, so much, and so forth with a 30, 40 as well.
Okay.
And so you'll have a sample of your framing. You may have a sample of your acrylic finishes, for argument's sake. You know, a little 10 by 8 that represents a 30 or 40, for argument's sake.
Right.
Or you may have a sample of a canvas in there as well to actually give them a touchy feel so they know what it's all about.
Sure.
So I think it's very important to make sure that you've got your samples on display, because this is what they're going to buy.
Yeah.
These are the sales tools that you need to have by your side to help your client make a value judgment. And it's all about helping them, or preventing it from going wrong. Because, you know, they'll say, well, what does that look like? Oh, I'll need to get you one of those. Well, you should have one in advance, yeah, before it becomes an issue.
Yeah.
Preparation, preparation, preparation is absolutely everything.
Yeah, good point. What about just thinking about, like, the wall portrait type stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever go into the idea of having a mat whereby, you know, the frame is a certain percentage, you know, bigger than the print itself, yeah, because you have, yeah, a mat around it?
That's actually a very interesting point. Over the years, Bruce, I've walked into many a studio that would have a, say, a 24-30 wall portrait up there. Now, 24 by 30, 24 inches by 30 inches, mm, being the actual size of the print.
Right.
And then they'll have about 10 inches of a mat on top of that.
Yeah.
And then they'll have another 10 inches of a frame on top of that.
So you got a 40 by 60 inch print.
You're kidding. Way. And that's a 24 by 30. You should see that in a 30 by 40. You know. And then, you know, the common response that they get from their clients is, that's too big.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, look, guys, think about this. Plan for it. They're not buying the mat and the frame. The value is in the image.
Yeah.
The frame and the mat is to complement the image, not override the image.
Right.
And that's a very, very valid point that we should always be aware of. As a rule of thumb, where there are mats in place, I used to tend to work with the principle of a 20 by 16 sitting there with a 30 millimeter mat.
Right.
A 24 by 20 would have a 40 millimeter mat.
Right.
A 24 by 30 would have a 50 millimeter mat. And say up to a 30 by 60 would have a 60 millimeter mat. Now, a 60 millimeter mat is actually 6 centimeters.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just enough to just bring the print out a little bit, not to absolutely overwhelm it.
Yeah.
And look, framers are notorious for just throwing these massive mats and massive frames on them. And for there, I can see where they're coming from. But to me, look, at the end of the day, I need to make sure that I can bring the print out or bring the image out, but absolutely not override it. And at the end of the day, I want to be selling my prints. And that's, yeah, where I want to come from. There are also certain studios over the years that we've worked with that will tend to go with the principle of sizing everything to the frame size, not the print size.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's another way of going about it. So we may say a 24 by 30 size wall portrait, but in effect, inside, there may only be a 20 by 16 print.
Right.
With a massive mat on it.
Yeah.
In which case, fine, you know, be my guest. However, I challenge whether I want to be selling the print or the mat.
Yeah.
And I'm in photography. It's one when I focus on the image itself, to be frank. specific about whether I see the value. So these are aspects that, you know, every operator, every photographer out there will deal with their own way. It's about their presentation, but just be wary of what we're creating. You know, if we're going to want to sell a 30-40, it's got to be something that'll actually be able to fit in someone's lounge room as well, or most lounge rooms in a sense.
So I guess then there is a real advantage to actually doing your sales pitch in the client's home rather than having them coming to your space.
Most. Well, there are definitely bigger advantages.
Because at least then you can see the kind of room that they've got.
Exactly. You can most definitely, you can actually walk around to every room and see exactly where they have that wall portrait. You can have your little tape measure and you can measure it all up.
Yeah.
So you can really personalize it. So actually going into someone's lounge room is not a bad idea.
Mm.
And working in their house, you know, they're having your little briefcase or your big suitcase, for argument's sake, where you've got your laptop in there, you've got your projector in there, you've got your framing options in there, or your finishes and canvases and acrylics, you've got your album variations in there, and it's always good to have two or three different album styles as well. So you've got the big one, the little one, and the really little one. Being able to offer those variations is all about options.
Yeah.
And the more options we have within a contained structure, the more we're going to help our client. But you be aware that you need to structure how you're going through that process. As we said, turning around to a client saying, would you like a wall portrait, is a no-go. That's going to scare them and overwhelm them.
Yeah.
Look, yeah. It takes it to that level. You know, if you're looking at asking that, establishing the personalized presentation range as well, Bruce, is I've always said, think of your clients in a very simple way in terms of how their brains may operate. So as opposed to asking, right, where would you have a wall portrait? In the lounge room. So let's see that lounge room. Where's it going to go in that lounge room? What finish is going to go in the lounge room? Finishing everything, what's going to work in that lounge room, then going to the next room. I actually tend to working a chunking mechanism. And what that means is that, right, Mary, if you were going to have a wall portrait, if you were going to have a wall portrait. So let's work on the principle of, you know, what would you love to do in an ideal world? So if you were going to have a wall portrait, where would it go? Lounge room, dining room, bedroom. So Mary says, oh, in the lounge room.
Yeah.
So instead of actually then establishing whereabouts in the lounge room, I'll establish all the other rooms because I've got to thinking about rooms now.
Yeah.
So Mary, where else would you have a wall portrait? She says, oh, in the dining room. And where else would you love to have a wall portrait? Oh, in the hallway. Oh, and where else would you love to have a wall portrait? Oh, in the bedroom. And where else? And where else? And where else? Basically, I'm not going to stop asking where else until the client says, no more.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. Don't make the assumption that they only want one wall portrait. Our job is to offer them the options. Once the client says no more, fine, not a problem. My job's to make sure.
Do you want fries with that?
Not fries with that, exactly. So I will establish all the possible rooms that they'd love to have a wall portrait in. Now that I've got them thinking on all the possibilities, then I'll go back to the lounge room, and now we're going to personalize that lounge room. So Mary, let's talk lounge room. Whereabouts in the lounge room would you have a wall portrait? Above the couch, between the windows, where what's going to work best? Where would it go? Let's give them some more information. So Mary, there's no point in having a massive wall space and a tiny wall portrait, or a massive wall portrait and a tiny wall space. We need to get it right. So based on the wall space that you're looking at, how big is that wall space? Is it so big? So establish exactly the wall that they're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Now, based on that wall space, do you think a 30 by 40 or a 24 by 30 would work best?
Yep.
Wait for the response. Neither. Okay. Would you say a 24 by 30 or a 20 by 24 would work best in that room? Okay. Neither. All right. Would you say a 2024 or 2016 would work best in that room? Oh, the 20 by 24. Great. Identify the 2024. Then go to the next room. Now in the dining room, whereabouts there would it go? So I'm actually working in a chunking mechanism. First, I'll establish the rooms. Then I'll establish whereabouts things will go in that room.
Yep.
And then I'll go right to the beginning again and establish the style in the lounge room, the style in the dining room, the style in the bedroom, and personalize the style to the various finishes we have.
Yeah.
I'm constantly preventing things from going wrong, which is by actually helping simplify the process for them and being one step ahead of them by simplification.
Right. Yep.
The easier we make it for them, the easier they'll be able to accept that this is what they'd love to have.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, definitely.
And then that's the journey we're constantly on. You know, we are image consultants and we're there to help them come back with what works best for them. in an educational way, in an informative way, and in a manner that simplifies things and allows them to come back with a solution that they'd love to have for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Awesome. Excellent. Well, thank you, Lee.
Absolute pleasure. This is what we do and what we love doing. So, oh, just on a note as well, worth remembering, Lorna Andrikopoulos and Instinctive Desires are commencing on the Focus on Business groups,
yep.
Monthly business groups, which are starting in Melbourne and in Sydney as of August. For dates and details, you can definitely go to instinctivedesires.com.au. I believe we've got the 2nd of August and the 9th of August as dates in question. I think the Sydney one you're attending as well, mate.
Yeah, that's on the 9th. That's Tuesday.
That's on the 9th.
Day week from now. Yeah.
That's right. And Tuesday, the 2nd of August, is in Melbourne.
Yep.
Definitely worth attending. We've started to get the people showing the interest and the first numbers are coming in. It is going to be a monthly event, which awesome. I think is going to be very interesting because we've got a lot of emerging photographers saying what we're looking for is a community that is specific to the business and is regular.
Excellent.
And that's what we're keen to do. So we look forward to the launch and we'll keep building that up and seeing how we can assist in getting better results. We want everyone competing on creativity, not on price. If we're creative and people appreciate it, they will pay for it.
Yep, definitely.
There you go.
All right, mate, good talking to you.
Absolute pleasure, Bruce. Take care of yourself. Take care of that croaky voice of yours and lots of strepsils and away we go.
Thank you, mate. Talk to you soon.
Absolute pleasure. All my love. Talk soon.
Shutters Inc. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.